Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get unbeatable flavor and value delivered right to your door. They have an unmatched selection of perfectly portioned proteins, including USDA certified tender steaks, burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, and more. All flash frozen at their moment of peak quality. Then quickly delivered to your door in a dependable cooler. So a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast. Omaha Steaks practically invented meat delivery, and they've been perfecting the art of premium proteins for over 100 years. With their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can order with complete confidence. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference, a better, more convenient way to buy proteins. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.
Eileen, thanks so much for getting in touch. Morning to you. Thanks be to God, I suppose, that Cork hammered Clare. But your issue was trying to get in, wasn't it?
Yes, good morning, Neil. Yeah, so I suppose it's...
Corky Queef.
Yes, that's correct. Just, I suppose, what drew my attention yesterday to the security that were on site yesterday was just following on from the coverage on your show there last week, just in relation to private security and what exactly are they entitled to do legally. So we were at the match yesterday. We were in the Blackrock Terrace. We were there quite early because just to get into the terrace, I suppose, and get into a safe place because there has been previous incidents in the stands. So as I said, we arrived quite early. The doors weren't open even when we arrived. And when they arrived, we just saw four private security members lining up at the entrance into the terraces. Now, previously, they would request to look in your bags or to search your bags or whatever. But yesterday, I suppose, I was there with my husband and three children. My husband was first and he showed his tickets and he was patted down, which I thought was a bit strange because I appreciate, you know, these types of things would happen at festivals or concerts or things like that, but I hadn't seen it before, nor was there any notice of, you know, that this was part and parcel of entry. So as I said, my husband kind of just went with it, whatever, it was just a light pat down. I was next in line with the children and I just said, you know, you're not searching me or my children. I've no problem opening the bag. And that was fine. I opened the bag and there was a bit of joke and jest about the contents of the bag, which were kind of Christmas and stuff for children. But I just found it a bit strange. And I suppose I was more upset that I didn't want my teenage daughter being patted down by a security guard. And I suppose that's really what kind of triggered me to send you an email.
So when you say security guard, would it have been a case, say, for instance, that would your daughter have been patted down by a female security guard?
No, there was a male security guard there. What I saw was
kind of. I think that's not right.
No, and as I said, he didn't make any attempt to pat her down, nor did he. You know, did he argue the case or anything? He just accepted it, but I just found it a bit strange that it seemed to be not voluntary, but as I said, he asked my husband, and my husband said, yeah, no problem. But I did take offence to it. You know, he didn't push on patting me or any of my children down, but I suppose I do have concerns. Has this happened to other people? Is this normal practice and procedure?
Ultimately what, sorry?
Legally, you know, what's the stand here? The private security seem to be out there by themselves and nobody actually knows what it is they are legally entitled to do. And I just found the thing quite strange. You know,
did anybody else refuse, do you know, or did you have time to observe?
I don't know, like that was just my experience, my own personal experience. And as I said, we were in very early, so I don't know what happened to others. And I suppose that's my question. Like, I would assume that the patting down or the searching is to negate the flares going off. But I counted 8 flares going off yesterday.
They still got in those flares, didn't they? Last time I spoke about this, a person was injured because this fella tried to, I won't go through much of the story, but fella threw a flare and caught the fella behind him as he was holding it back to fire it, and then he burnt your man's side of your man's face or his neck, and then he threw the flare down into a load of other supporters down below. I mean, they're appalling things.
Lethally dangerous.
But if you went to Cork Airport or any airport, right? Let's say you went through it and you got an alarm beep when you went through the scan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what would you do then?
Again, I suppose my personal opinion is that security staff at airports are legitimate. They have training. I would just like an understanding as to what training these private security staff members have. Like, for example, at one stage during the match, I saw one of, I'm presuming, the senior security, because they seem to be wearing different colour vests, yellow and orange. I saw one security staff member shouting up to other staff members in the stands, telling them to take down their hoods, because some of the private security members were wearing jackets with their hoods up. And he shouted up to ask them to take their
Why would they be hooded? What the hell is that about?
I don't know. Perhaps they were just cold or whatever, but they were wearing jackets with hoods. And towards the end of the match, then when they were lining up the sides of the pitches, my perception of what I saw is that the security members, the private security members that were there, clearly didn't really know what they were doing. You know, it wasn't a coordinated. So, for example, if you go into Cork Airport, every security staff member there is uniformed. They know what they're doing. They understand their role. And if I'm stopped going through a security check, there's a legitimate reason for that. And, you know, you will have a female officer available to pat down.
Okay, so in Cork Airport or airports, females pat down females, yeah?
Yes, that has been my experience.
Do females pat down males?
My experience from what I've personally seen is male security staff pat down male travellers.
Okay, so what is your issue with regards to being frisked or patted down? Is it an invasion of privacy? Were you conscious of your daughter being frisked by a man, potentially? What?
Yeah. So I suppose if you're aware that this is going to be happening, we've looked at the terms and conditions, I've looked at the signs, and nowhere does it say for a €5 ticket that you're paying for a terrace for a child or €30 for an adult, you are going to be searched. So, but that's not the case. Not everybody was searched.
Okay. Why was it? Okay.
It seemed to be
random.
Yes.
Here's my take. Like, forgive me now, and I appreciate what you're saying, but in my book, I have no problem with things like this. I always look at this from the point of view of, if it's keeping everybody safe, on you go.
It's not, Neil.
Drive on.
It's not keeping everybody safe, because there were still 8 flares that went off in the terraces yesterday. So how
That's because there were random searches, I suppose. Random.
Perhaps. But, you know, again, My question here is the training and the legitimacy of the private security that are attending these events. Like, everybody will agree that the GAA make a lot of money. If they want to proactively stop the issues that are happening in the terraces, put in place something that will legitimately be able to stop this happening, because it's not. There was still 8 flares went off yesterday. I don't know if anybody was injured. So, like, if you're putting a practice in place for a legitimate reason, there has to be an end goal and an achievement.
The end goal and achievement would be to keep people safe and to keep out flares or weapons and stuff like that. I suppose that's the end goal. But I'm just trying to find 100%, to be accurate, your biggest problem with that. Is it invasive? Is it, you know, do you believe that it's overstepping the mark with regards to people's personal space?
Yes, but if we know definitively that these staff members are qualified, are capable of doing what they're supposed to be doing, because even when my husband was frisked, it was only the front of him was frisked. So I'm assuming realistically, if you want to get flares in, you're going to put them in different parts of your body.
And when you refused, so they did let you in anyway.
Oh, yes, he didn't. He didn't say anything. I just said, you're not searching me or my children. You're more than welcome to look in my bag.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they would be licensed. Anybody that's even working for a private security firm would have to have some kind of a, I don't know, equivalent to a security license.
Yes, I'm assuming a license, but what training and liaising exists between private security and, we'd say, members of Garda Síochána?
Well, why does that matter if it's the idea of the hands-on that bothers you?
Because, again, if you have private security that are detaining people, using a citizen's arrest, surely they have to be qualified in that. If they're carrying out a citizen's arrest, or they're frisking in the line of their duty, or as part of their job, who's providing the training for them?
So interesting. Saying people are patted down at the City matches every Friday night in Turner's Cross, also any Irish games in Dublin. It's fairly normal procedure now at this stage.
And that's fine if it's happening to everybody and it's happening across the board and if these private security members are trained. But I suppose where my concern raised yesterday, having listened to the coverage on your show last week around private security, to me it looks as though it's the Wild West.
I still don't know categorically, in spite of asking lots of different people to come on air. Nobody will touch it because of the death of an individual, of course. But I still don't know where the rule of law is with regards to private security, how much they can do, whether they can follow, whether they can apprehend. What they actually did outside of Arnis was legal or not, I don't know.
And I suppose the private securities authority, they're the regulatory authority in this country. All other regulatory authorities that oversee every other industry, they have to adhere to strict criteria and guidance, but the private security sector doesn't appear to be that. And again, that's me just giving my opinion from a lay point of view.
I appreciate that.
You know, we hear it not just at matches, we hear it at nightclubs and in shops and everything else like this. The citizens' arrests when they do occur, and the restraining of people when it happens, and again, the frisking of people when it happens.
All right, let's see what other people make of it. Maybe it's an indication of the society that we're living in now. Security is very, very important, as we see when we hear of mass shootings and bombings around the world, and we certainly don't want any of that. But at least Cork won. That's something.
Exactly.
Even though on a lighter note, you got scalped for 99s, I'm told, did you?
Yes. So I was saying that earlier there. So yeah, they weren't 99s, they were medium cones. Three medium cones were €12 and a packet of jellies, Haribo jellies, were €3.50.
Yeah, you got to have a few bob in your pocket when you go out these days, exactly. That's for sure.